Recently, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who is admittedly a socialist, she's ready to tax the rich to make her Green New Deal a reality. She suggested taxes as high as 70% on the wealthiest to pay for a what she calls a Green New Deal. These are words I'm taking from a new article by Jarrett Stepman of the Heritage Foundation, who writes for DailySignal.com. The article is called "The Green New Deal is a Trojan Horse for Socialism." Hello and welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Jarrett Stepman. He returns to the program. Jarrett, great to have you back on again. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
Sure. Okay, first of all, for those not familiar with AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, tell us who she is, and then we'll plow right into this subject about the Green New Deal, so-called.
Sure. She's a new representative from New York who has certainly made a lot of waves on media. She's gotten a lot of attention, certainly for a freshman congressman woman. She has had a lot of attention from the press. She, in many ways, is very savvy at using things like social media. She has a huge millennial following, and something that makes her, well, I guess distinct, although I think increasingly common now, is that she describes herself as a democratic socialist, a word that I think even many on the left, even a few years ago, would have run from and denied that they were socialists. She openly embraces it, and she has a fairly large following of fans, and she's tussled with other Democrats and pushed them farther and farther to the left. And she's come up, she's adopted this kind of Green New Deal proposal that has 40 Democrats in the House that have embraced that is this quite extensive agenda.
Okay, the idea of the Green New Deal is that climate change, man-made climate change, is a big threat, and that we need to act, and if we act, that can change things. It's based on that premise, which, by the way, not all scientists agree with. Now, unfortunately, though, on the left, they're basically becoming almost totalitarian when it comes to this. I mean, for example, Chuck Todd of NBC News said, "I will not allow a climate change denier, somebody who questions the premise I just said a few moments ago, on my program because it's settled science." So let's start with that. Is it settled science, Jarrett?
It's definitely not settled science. And I think many people rightly I suspect that a lot of what we see with some of the climate or environmentalist ideology is simply a mask for a lot of far left ideas in regards to economics and government. I think that's, in some ways, that's what's maybe you could say a positive of the Green New Deal, because when you actually examine it and see what it is, you have to see that it really is more of an economic agenda. I mean, it really is fulfilling their ideas about socialism and government control of American way of life. And I think many people have a reason to think that this is a serious problem. This is not something that we should just embrace because they say, well, the science tells us this and the science is infallible and you should just believe this. I think that's why so many are very wary about the claims of those who say that we must tackle climate change immediately, even if that means upending the Constitution, even if it means upending our prosperity in this country, which I think, quite frankly, the Green New Deal certainly does.
It's interesting, too, because when you look at the current Prime Minister of France or the leader in France, Macron, he is trying to implement this kind of thing, you know, draconian taxes on fuel, because to fight supposedly, you know, man-made global warming that is an alarming stage, okay, he's trying to do this, and the farmers and so forth who don't want to see their taxes jacked up, they're fighting back. This is exactly putting, you know, real life in a kind of a, you know, it's a liberal country, France is, compared to America in some ways, and yet the people are fighting back, and this is the Green New Deal, in effect, you know, on the streets, and it's playing out before our eyes.
It is, and I would say, actually, the Green New Deal is far more extensive than anything that we see there in France. I
mean, even worse.
Talks about.
It would be even worse then. Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, the plan is actually quite extreme. It calls for 100% renewables within 10 years. I mean, that's already, I mean, just the science and economics behind it, it's just simply not possible. And it would carry this out through basically government programs. I mean, the thing even says that, you know, we've tried private sector solutions. We don't think that's acceptable anymore. The government has to come in and transform the American economy. We have to wipe out the fossil fuel industry. We have to switch to 100% renewables. There's, of course, no mention of nuclear power, which in many ways is technically green, which I think also shows what their agenda really is. This is an extreme proposal. I mean, we think about today, the United States is in a very fortunate position. We are finally becoming energy independent because we've had such a boom in the fracking industry and in the oil industry. This legislation would completely wipe that out. At least that's what its intended goals are. And I think would actually tip us over the edge. I mean, you talk about the job losses. You would talk about the curtailment of prosperity in this country. You talk about the increase in the size of government, which Americans have never experienced. This is a very radical plan, and I think it would come with a lot of resistance. It would come with a lot of economic chaos if it was actually ever implemented.
Yeah. You know, Steve Moore, who writes a lot with the Wall Street Journal, in fact, I think he's got ties to Heritage as well. But anyway, he co-wrote a book about energy and about fossil fuels. And basically, one of the things that he shows there in that book that he co-wrote is that oil, natural gas, and coal, those are the main sources of our energy. And although we've tried all these other things, you know, with the sun, and we drew with water power and wind power and so forth, a lot of times it takes energy from those other sources, oil, natural gas, and coal, to prop up the wind tunnel, you know, the wind energy and these other renewable sources. In other words, the science isn't there for these renewable things, at least not yet.
It certainly isn't. I mean, we're talking about, under this proposal, wiping out over 80% of where we get our energy. I mean, it's just, frankly, it's just not possible. We can't rely entirely on solar power. It always has to be the gaps in what solar power can do. Remember, you can only get solar power really during the daylight hours.
Yeah.
A lot of the gaps are filled with fossil fuel energy. It may not be something that a lot of people who, you know, push this idea of climate change really want, but it's reality. And wiping out these industries, which it's an interesting timing for this because the United States has had such, you know, growth certainly in the last few years thanks to a lot of oil men in Texas and North Dakota and Pennsylvania who have tapped into these incredible resources that the United States is sitting on. Changing this now would reverse that and rely on technologies that, frankly, just don't work. And you can imagine the kind of chaos that would ensue for the American people.
It is amazing. And her whole point is, well, basically, if we just tax the very, very wealthy, you know, look, once they have their $10 million, why do they need more? You know, that kind of thing. Just keep soaking the rich, and that'll help pay for all this. But it's all based on flawed premises, as far as I can see.
It really is. I think this idea, I mean, it's funny because that 70% tax on the rich is one of the more moderate parts of this proposal. I mean, she's proposing not just to tackle the climate change phenomenon. She's also advocating to create Medicare for all. She wants a universal basic income, basically a federal jobs guarantee. And, you know, these are very expensive programs. You know, these things will cost in the measure of trillions and trillions of dollars. I mean, we already have a budget of around $4 trillion a year. About a trillion of that is borrowed. We're talking about doubling or even more the current budget that we had. 70% tax on the tippy top, as she said, of the rich people simply won't cover the cost and expense, not only to the American taxpayers, but to the American people in general. This is going to tax everybody. This is everybody's going to be paying for this a whole lot of money. And of course, at the same time, while our economy goes into the tank and we have less money to give.
Now, this is apparently the youngest member in Congress, correct? And she's certainly photogenic. As you said, she gets a lot of media attention and so forth. And she has quite a following among millennials. And unfortunately, you got a lot of people out there that just don't know the facts and they don't know the science. And she comes along and she's, you know, winsome in her communication style. And, you know, next thing you know, there's a lot of people, unfortunately, Pied Pipers following in this trail.
There are, and even the word socialism among many young people is not a bad word to them. I mean, there's definitely some worrying polls that many people say they'd rather live under a socialist economy than a capitalist one, especially among millennials and younger people. And that's why we do have to point out, you know, how these policies have failed people, have made people basically destroyed the wealth in society, and this word they use a lot, which is equality, they in some ways create even worse conditions for regular people. I mean, the only people that succeed in a system of socialism are those who are politically connected, those who are at the very top. I mean, we've seen this, of course, in extreme cases like in Venezuela, where really only the political regime thrives there. Is that really something that we want for the United States, for this free country? I think the answer is no.
Yeah. And yet she would say, well, I don't want to turn America into Venezuela. I want to turn it into Sweden.
Well, and that's definitely a misnomer, and we definitely have tried to correct that at the Heritage Foundation. I mean, this idea, I mean, it's interesting that Sweden has actually had a lot of successes in the last few decades because they've moved away from socialism. In fact, I think that is a prime generator. I mean, we've actually had on the Heritage Index of Economic Freedom, Sweden does very, very well. I mean, they're one of the top countries. So this idea that Sweden is some kind of socialist paradise is just, it's not an accurate description of that. Right. And in many ways, the proposals of the Green New Deal brings us closer to the Venezuela model than anything we'd see in a country like Sweden. So I think that's very much a misnomer. I think that's very misleading to say that, well, you know, socialism actually functions because of Sweden. It's just, it's not true.
All right. Are the fossil fuels by definition, is this something that's just polluting the planet and we're, you know, robbing the next generation because of pollution?
No, I don't think so. In fact, I think in many ways, I think it's interesting that even though the United States, for instance, has backed out of the Paris climate deal, we actually have done a better job of cleaning up a lot of, I think, that the dirty policies and whatnot that we have. I mean, I think a lot of this is being driven by the private sector itself. And, you know, America has been a very prosperous society. We have cleaned things up, I think, very natural. People don't like to live in where the air is choking them, where we have a lot of pollution like you see in China today. And that's because that can happen because we are wealthier, because we've had this kind of prosperity that's allowed us to focus on things like cleaning up the environment. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. But the idea that we'd throw this into reverse, that we'd wipe out the fossil fuel industry for this kind of vague notion of tackling climate change, you know, I think a lot of people see that for what it is. It'll destroy our prosperity. It'll make things a lot worse. And frankly, if climate change is happening, it won't reverse it anyway. So it's a disaster on all fronts.
Wow. Some people say that AOC, that is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, is the wave of the future. Your thoughts?
I think for a certain segment of what the American left is, I think that's certainly true. Is that true of the United States as a whole? I don't think so. And I think that the reality of a lot of the proposals that she's put on the table, when they come to light, I think Americans, I think they have a lot of common sense, and I think they will turn against them.
There was a poll taken that was reported on about 2 or 3 months ago, and it showed that only 8% of Americans identify themselves as progressives and fitting the progressive model. There were, you know, others that call themselves liberals, but it's, you know, in a more moderate way than the progressive. And, you know, conservatives was about 25% active conservatives. How is it that the progressives have managed to essentially take over the Democratic Party?
Well, that is a very good point. I think it's in large part because they own a lot of the kind of cultural institutions in this country. They're the most engaged, they're the most plugged in, they're the most activist. I mean, you know, we've seen how people who disagree with their point of view get shouted down on college campuses. They are attacked when they go on television, say views that the very far left progressives, you know, don't believe in. I think they've been very effective at browbeating Americans into thinking that they are in the majority, that it's only them and nobody else. I think that's just not true. And especially when they do take those extreme actions, the hope is that there will be a response to the American people, and there certainly has been some. But I think they've definitely made their impact far beyond their actual numbers. I think that is absolutely true. But that just shows you what a very activist, engaged, base the progressive left can actually do in changing people's minds. I think it is a dangerous thing.
Well, we're in for some interesting times. Jared Stepman of DailySignal.com. We're out of time. Thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Okay, great. Thanks. Bye-bye.